Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As I told you right before the break, according to our own Brian Murphy from WRAL, the NC State Wolfpack will go to MJ Morris. They will take the red shirt off. They will let him start against Marshall. And I guess the theory is he will be the quarterback the rest of the way. And that's the way it's going to be. Brennan Armstrong has not worked out. I don't think it's all Brennan Armstrong's fault, but he certainly hasn't been part of the solution either. Here's one thing I do know as we talk about the NFL every Monday. I know Will Brinson always likes to jump in on the Wolfpack, being a state guy. So this is the right decision, correct?
Yeah, for sure. I would say that the ATW text thread is popping off right now with chatter about this. I think generally speaking, the feeling amongst, and I'm giving the temperature for all Pack fans based on a small sample size, but I think it's probably accurate. With people I've texted with over the past couple of weeks, is like it was time to move on. I didn't think that they would move on from Brennan Armstrong at any point at Virginia in Charlottesville on his sort of, I love my revenge game, right? I mean, that was a revenge game spot. It felt like the game plan that Robert and I put together really didn't even factor in the poor blocking that NC State's had all year, the terrible weather. Brennan Armstrong has said he doesn't like to throw in the rain.
Right.
And it's like it's raining. It's like it's gross up there and you're just chunking it around. NC State can't really run the NC State offense didn't run the ball very well right now. They're not blocking very – the offensive line didn't do a very good job blocking right now. But I would almost guess that the last straw was probably one of, like, Tony Gibson's unit's finest defensive performances that you'll see against Louisville on Friday night. Insane energy inside Carter Finley Stadium, a blackout, allegedly some glow-in-the-dark stuff. I'm not sure if that actually happened. like that home game, that atmosphere – that defensive performance, you hold that team to 13 points and you can't muster more than 10. I mean, I think that was probably, it was certainly the final straw. You could argue that some people say it was one game too late. I don't think that is inaccurate either. I mean, to his benefit and to a fault at some points in time, I think is very loyal to his veteran guys. And I know that Brennan Armstrong is new here, but we've seen him do this. Like Dave does not have a quick hook when it comes to the quarterback position or when it comes to guys who have been in the program a long time. And I think when it doesn't work at the quarterback spot, that people get upset about it. But it is generally not a bad philosophy. At any rate, you get Marshall this week at home, then you're at Duke. That game's set for 8:00. I don't think it's gonna be game day again. No, just kidding. It won't be game day.
College game day.
No, but I mean, like that's a huge game all of a sudden in the ACC, and then you get your bye before Clemson. So if you're going to do it, now's the time. If the offensive line starts blocking better magically, that's.
I think they're getting healthier. They're going to get healthier on the offensive line. Here's my read on Brennan Armstrong. For whatever reason, the magic has not come back from 2 years ago when he threw for nearly a mile. More than a mile, nearly 3 miles at UVA with Robert and I as his offensive coordinator. Part of it is, and maybe 50% of it, is that the Wolfpack have been awful running the football. I mean,
don't really have any wide receivers either. I forgot to touch on that.
Well, true, but they have been awful running the football. Because to me, it starts with that, no matter who your offensive coordinator is, because that's the way Dave Doran wants to do it, and I'm okay with it. If you can run the ball effectively, it will make your passing game much more effective. By the way, we saw that in the second half, Duke-Notre Dame. So their offensive line has been terrible. They're running backs. They're using basically two young guys right now to do the heavy lifting. And it's just neither of them can make chicken salad out of what they're getting. And on top of that, you have no really good receivers. at least no good veteran receivers. Although, didn't we see a little bit of Timmons on Friday night that made you think it was back-to-back completions? And I thought, maybe this guy is going to get it. We know Casey Concepcion is good, although only one catch for 7 yards in the game. Brett Rosner was good, but we've seen nothing from the tight ends. And ultimately, Armstrong, even when plays were there, he has been unfortunately very inaccurate. So I actually think this was the right decision, because if it ain't going to go well, you're not, I mean, right now, I don't even think that making a bowl game is likely for NC State. Well, no, their record is okay. It's not the word.
I mean, like, you're getting in with six. You know, you'll get a. I think bowl game isn't the issue. I think it's like, where is the floor ceiling combo shift for the Cincy State team? Right? Like, can you shift? Can you shift the floor from 6 wins? You know, like, does this change you picking up a win against Miami and maybe a win against Duke? Right. Because, like, that changed the whole season.
Can I just say, like, this is going to sound weird. I think they could go to Wallace Wade Stadium and get it handed to them, as good as their defense is.
Yeah, of course. Duke's great. Mike Elko's a great coach. Also, he's like, what's Riley Leonard's status, right? I mean, like, he
probably has to play in that game, but I still think Duke can be really good with, Blevin, the backup, who's got a super strong arm, and he should be a good, I know he can run the ball. I mean,
let's just say, Gold, if there's two State fans out there.
How are they going to score on Duke's defense?
If there's two State fans who would prefer to remain nameless, Carr and Fork, you know who I'm talking about. maybe don't try to break your streak in Durham, all right? Like, maybe let's just steal one with the J. Morris over in Durham. It doesn't count. It's not far enough away, guys.
So
they can't win on road games is the problem.
Well, that is they also
no NC State problem. These two individuals curse the road for us.
I missed that part. All right, Will Brinson is here, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast moderator. We'll talk more about MJ Morris as the new guy, coming up in just a little bit. Let me talk about another quarterback situation that I think we might have seen some life in. I know they lost the game, and we could talk about the official two, I thought, very bad, one non-call and then one call.
Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox here.
We're excited to offer you all the inside information on your team with the newest member of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, Panthers Playbook.
Twice a week, we'll keep you updated on your Carolina Panthers. We're talking about locker room insight, exclusive interviews, and of course, in-depth looks at all of the Panthers' wins.
Touchdown, Carolina!
Panthers Playbook. Download and subscribe today at WRELSportsFan.com or wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.
But if you're a Jets fan, and I am a recovering Jets fan, I am no longer a Jets fan, I'm completely devoid of emotion about it. But did we not see some Zach Wilson signs of life, and the Jets, who allowed him to throw the ball, actually looked borderline competent?
That was the best performance. I mean, this is like saying, like, yeah, you're like, today was Brinson's best performance on 99.9, right?
No. That's an unfair comparison.
No.
Somebody out there is nodding, though, in agreement. There's no question.
Oh, there's definitely some people. Exactly. There's people like, that's right. Yeah, that's a good comp, Brinson. There's plenty of them out there, I'm sure. Yeah. Probably Carolina fans. But Zach Wilson's, the bar is so freaking low for Zach Wilson.
I know.
That it's like, you don't want to suggest that, like, that was his best performance as a New York Jets player, but it was easily his best performance as a Jets player. I think I tweeted this out, but it's like, imagine, you know, the NFL had that big, we're writing the script, like, you know, commercial, whatever. They did a bunch of those commercials, right, with Key on the Key or whatever, joking about how they're the NFL scripted.
Yeah.
It's like, you could have asked me to come up with the most far-fetched, give me the most far-fetched thing that you could come up with, and I wouldn't have been able to come up with anything as good as Aaron Rodgers tears his Achilles 4 snaps into the season, and then Zach Wilson outplays Patrick Mahomes in week 4 in MetLife Stadium while Taylor Swift watches from a luxury box as her boyfriend Travis Kelce tries to take out the Jets. Like, no one is like, what simulation are we living in that is a real storyline?
Jets were the better team in the second half until that last drive. Now, I want to get to some other games here so we don't have to go through. I thought the Jets' defense was terrible in the first quarter, but great for the remainder of the game. And I don't even blame them really on the last drive because, I mean, am I crazy? Was Jermaine Johnson, number 11 defensive end on the right?
They meant to say Sauce Gardner. They said the wrong name.
Right. They meant to say Sauce Gardner, but a defensive end on the right side on the Patrick Mahomes 3rd and 22 run for 26 yards and a first down. Tell me that Jermaine Johnson wasn't blatantly held with both hands on the outside. You can hold, you can grab inside the shoulder pads. You can't grab the outside. It was blatantly held.
There was like four straight calls where it was like holding on the offense, holding on the defense, holding on the offense, on the defense.
It was a cluster. Yeah. But I don't know how you let that go because it wasn't like there was congestion there. And then the defensive holding call on Sauce Gardner where there was no holding and it negated an interception and the flag was not thrown until after
the interception.
If they had called illegal contact after 5 yards, I think that would have been a proper call because I think there was contact, whether it was, you know.
And then it does make you wonder, like, do they call it if the ball lands incomplete? You know, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I guess they do. I mean, maybe you would have hoped they do, but it's like when the flag's in the pocket until, like, when the contact happens and the flag's in the pocket until after the interception happens by a different player, it's like, you know, you could have thrown that flag at any time, pal.
Right. I mean, what were you waiting for? I mean, you should have thrown it to because the hold happened before Mahomes threw the ball.
And I'm not accusing the refs of anything like pure shenanigans here. By the way, I do think like I'll just say this very quickly. Just the Jets thing. There was like buzz all week long about Zach Wilson being benched and the defense being just apoplectic that Zach Wilson was continuing to get Robert Saleh's support despite, like, the Jets, the first two teams that we've talked about sort of reminiscent of each other, I think.
There's a lot of similarities. Yeah. Actually, there's tremendous similarities between the Jets, the Panthers. One of my theories today is how the Panthers can actually learn from the Jets, and that is painful to even say out loud if you're a Panthers fan. And State, they have a lot of the same problems where their offensive lines just aren't good enough for everything else to work. The Jets showed a little bit of progress this week. Not great, but a little bit of progress this week on their offensive line. But they allowed Zach to throw the ball. So I think that's very cool. Let me get to a couple of other games before we have to let Will Brinson.
I mean, the Wolfpack and the Jets, but yeah, I get your point.
Well, I think all three are the same.
Yeah, I agree.
I think all three have the same, very similar problems.
Only one on the Panthers might be giving away the first or second overall pick in May.
Unbelievable. That's right. That is true. The Jets could end up being picking in the top 5 or 6 by the end of the season, unless Zach Wilson continues to play like that, in which case the Jets will probably screw it up by winning 7 or 8 games. Lions. They look like they might be, like, legit. They have now won 2 in a row at Lambeau Field, and I understand maybe Green Bay's not great, but the Lions went in there and made it a no-doubter. I think that is significant.
Yeah, Thursday night, 34-20, like, didn't even really describe the score. It didn't even feel like it was that close. You know, right. Jordan Love had some kind of garbage time stuff to get sort of back into the mix a little bit. But Detroit looks like a absolute contender. You know, they had, I think here's the thing for me. You got to look at, it's easy to get, we talk every Monday, right? So it's easy to get week to week. That's how the NFL works. You have to talk about it week to week. It's almost impossible not to do it. At the same time, you know, when you look at the Lions, like, this is Bill Belichick has always talked about doing this. 4 weeks into the year, and it's easier when it was a 16-game schedule, but 4 weeks into the year is when you can really assess your team. And the Lions went to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs
right.
on opening night with Andy Reid having all season to prepare. They lose in overtime to the Seahawks. It was kind of like, eh. And then they just took care of business against the Falcons at home. And that, to me, you get to 2-1, and then you go into the Green Bay on a short week against a quarterback in Jordan Love who's playing pretty well, and it's like a divisional statement game reminiscent mm-hmm. of, you know, the Bills playing the Patriots in a post Tom Brady world, just like post Aaron Rodgers, where it's like,
right.
okay, are you gonna let this team just keep owning this division, or are you ready to take the crown from them? And I think you saw that on Thursday night, and now they get the Panthers at home at the Buccaneers, and you know there's a real chance with those two matchups, because I don't think the Bucs are all that, and
no, I don't either.
The Panthers aren't very good. You get a chance to get to 5-1.
Yep,
if you get a 5-1, like, I mean, this team is built. In Dan Campbell's image, they have a really great offensive line, a really great defensive line. They have playmakers on both sides of the ball. Jameson Williams, the mm-hmm. second-year player coming back early now from his gambling suspension, thanks to the NFL's random decision to change that in the middle of the year. What a surprise, NFL. What a surprise. Yeah. And then, like, they got playmakers on the back end. They need, like, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, those guys. Brian Branch needs to be healthy again. Like, he got hurt against Green Bay. I'm not sure why they rolled him back out there. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson needs to come back. But, like, they have a team that's good enough to make the Super Bowl just because the NFC doesn't have – like, you have the Niners, you have the Cowboys, you have the Eagles. But, like, I mean, you know, you probably don't have to play all of them in the playoffs.
Right, you're right. You can't play all of them. Let me get it.
Go get the one seed, and we need to win two games to get to the playoffs.
That's true. Get to the Super Bowl. There's no question. All right, let me ask you quickly about the Bills. I think that what we saw against Miami was in some way influenced by Miami just having scored 70, and there was no way that was going to continue. Just human nature, right? But
sure.
And the Bills' two wins prior to this were against two horrible teams. I shouldn't say two horrible teams. One horrible team, the Raiders. And the other decent team in the Commandos. I'm not completely.
They slaughtered them, though. They slaughtered.
Right. They slaughtered both. And look, I'm not saying the Bills aren't good. But when Josh.
I think the Bills are the best team in football.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's you.
That's why I'm wearing my Durham Bulls hat. It looks a little bit like the Bills.
I didn't look up to see on the screen what hat you were wearing. I don't know. I thought it was a Titleist hat earlier. It might have been. For all I know, you're going through wardrobe changes like Taylor Swift. But when Josh Allen is going to play a clean game mm-hmm. and the Bills are going to be effective running the ball.
Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox here.
We're excited to offer you all the inside information on your team with the newest member of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, Panthers Playbook.
Twice a week, we'll keep you updated on your Carolina Panthers. We're talking about locker room insight, exclusive interviews, and of course, in-depth looks at all of the Panthers' wins.
Touchdown, Carolina!
Panthers Playbook. Download and subscribe today at WRELSportsFan.com or wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day!
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. So TYK2 inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I think they become, maybe what you say, arguably the best team in the league. It's about time for them.
Teams that score 60 or more points in the history of football, professional football, 1-6 in their following games. the next week's game, straight up. Now, the last one was like 1965, so, you know.
Right, that's a lot of points.
Right. But, you know, I don't think the Dolphins were going to continue doing what they're going to do. I do think it is really interesting to note that, for me, like, we, of course, yeah, Josh Allen plays a clean game, 21 of 25, 320, four touchdowns, also ran for a touchdown. He now has four games with four passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown, second most in NFL history, behind only a surprising name, Drew Brees. Because Drew Brees would sneak over with that little jump and he would poke the ball over. The Bills ran the ball okay in this game. Stephon Diggs went off. I think that the Bills have a chip on their shoulder. I think, more importantly, Buffalo's defense is very good. Now, I think, did Tre'Davious White get hurt in this game?
He did. He did, yeah, and they fear a torn ACL.
That, oh yeah, or Achilles, yeah, that's
Achilles,
whatever it
right,
is.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, Achilles, it started with an A.
Yeah. Okay, that's a big problem for the Bills' defense. But, like, Sean McDermott, as Panthers fans know, a very good play caller on defense. He's sort of gotten back into his groove on that end of things. And we saw the Dolphins score. They had two 7-play, 70-plus-yard drives on their first two drives and didn't score again for the rest of the first half. Now, that's – I mean, you can look – like, you know, Mike McDaniel or Shanahan guy, that you script the first 15 plays, right?
Right.
So those are probably his two scripted drives, and they were very efficient and did what they did. The Bills scored on their first three, and then they just shut him out. And then the Dolphins came out and scored an early third-quarter touchdown, and then the Bills locked him down for the rest of the game. So, like, I think that defense – and to me, the Bills are as balanced across the board on both sides of the ball as any team in the NFL.
All right, final thing. And I have Buffalo in the top five. I do not have them at number one because I don't think there's a team better than the San Francisco 49ers.
That's fine. San Fran, Kansas City, Buffalo, Philly.
I don't have Kansas City in my top five at all. But that's
what's your top five?
I do that tomorrow. I do that tomorrow. But no Kansas City. We're still waiting on the bottom five before I fill it out. Although I actually think I filled it out already. Real quick. The Bengals, we have like 30 seconds here.
Sure.
They're going to play at Arizona. Then they host the Seahawks. Then they are at the 49ers before the Bills come to Cincinnati. That'll be an emotional game, by the way. Because DeMar Hamlin was on the field. He played on special teams yesterday for Buffalo.
Yes.
The Bengals are like in danger of blowing this whole year because they rushed Joe Burrow back into the lineup for the opener.
Yep, and now they're stuck in this purgatory where they can't sit him because they have to win these games against Arizona and Seattle before their bye. And even if you sit him, he might not be healthy enough for San Francisco and Buffalo after your bye, which is a tough little stretch. And the offensive line's playing poorly. The defense has been hit or miss. The running game isn't there. T. Higgins is banged up. They don't know how long he's going to be out. They're in deep trouble, and there's no quick solution here because Joe Burrow really just needs time to heal. They basically got to win these two games and hope he can get some sort of magical ointment during the bye week.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast moderator. Hey, man, I'll talk to you again. I don't know. Let's do it next Monday.
Let's do it next Monday. See you, man.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. That's Will Brinson. That was – I don't know if that was his – best. It wasn't like Zach Wilson. That wasn't Will's opus. Right?
Yeah.
But it was solid. I think Will is the Kirk Cousins. No, that's unfair.
I was going to say.
That's unfair. It's unfair.
He might look great in purple, though. Who knows?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.